Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 tonight out of this psalm and just pull a few truths and principles from here tonight. We're going to consider David's counsel in this passage, and the title of the message is Good Counsel for God's People. Look in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How many of you have been following the news lately with what's going on? I suppose you kind of probably do here and there, like I do. It's real easy, isn't it, to start getting real angry when you see just the lunacy that's happening across the board in our country. And, you know, most of it was mentioned tonight how people are just attacking our president, trying to destroy our country, trying to do away with the Constitution, and rights and freedoms are eroding day by day, and there's wickedness in high places, there truly is. And when we look at the circumstances outwardly, it's very angry, it's very easy to become angry. And just, you know, I wish you could do something about it. And why don't people see what's going on? And I mean, I've thought this for a long time, that it's almost like nowadays, it's almost like you have to be a born-again Christian to be able to see through all of the muck and to see what's really what's behind it. Because people's minds are so blinded and people's eyes are so, and thinking is so jaded, and it's like there's no common sense anymore. And we see this all over the world, and it's coming more and more into our country. And you know, we could say that these are turbulent times, and they are. And it's really an exciting time, honestly, to be alive, because the Lord is at work. The Lord is going to be coming soon, it appears. And we could look at all of the outward things, and we could become discouraged, and we can become angry, and we can become upset. And we could ask the question, what do we do? How do we respond? And so on, when we see what's happening in America with the agenda that's being pushed by the liberal, radical left. And in a lot of ways, it is cause for concern. But what should we do? Well, like I said, sometimes it just makes us angry when we see and hear what's going on. And the question, though, is how should we behave in a turbulent world? Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus gave really words of what was coming, but also words of assurance. For those of us who live in a very unpredictable world, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. There's some foresight into what's coming. But then Jesus said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There's our consolation, amen. In spite of what we know what's coming, we can also be of good cheer with our faith and our trust in the Lord. There's a story about Abraham Lincoln. And there was a man named Joseph Sizzou, who was a pastor in a New York church a New York Avenue church in Washington, where Abraham Lincoln often attended services. And among Sizzou's most memorable moments was the day that he held Abraham Lincoln's own Bible in his hand. And he said this, or thought this, he said, This is the Bible from which Abraham Lincoln's mother read to him as a child. And he remembers thinking that with the book in his hand, wanting to open up the Bible and just wondering where it would fall open to. And so he did. And he tells the story of how the Bible opened up to a page which was thumb marked, which had been read many, many times over. You could tell by the worn look of the pages. The Bible fell open to the 37th Psalm and highlighted or underlined or marked in some way in that Bible was Psalm 37 in verse 7, which said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." And what good advice and what good counsel for God's people even today, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And we see in Psalm 37 here in our text, David is an old man. Verse 25 says, "I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David is an old man who reviews the past here, and he gives us some wise counsel that we should apply in our life today to keep us from second-guessing God when things aren't going our way or we live in a turbulent, a troublesome time, an unpredictable world. David had battled with evil men in his life. David knew the frustrations of seeing the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. David had seen all of these things, and yet David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." There are going to be times when things aren't going our way. There's times when there's turbulence and turmoil in our own life, and especially in this world. And what do we do? Well, David gives us some good instruction for God's people today. And I want to bring out a few of these in this text here tonight. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts with your word tonight. Lord, to not look on circumstances in the outward and the temporal, but understand that you have given us spiritual eyes with which to see. And Father, we can trust in the Lord and we can rest in the Lord. And the result of all of that is experiencing abundant peace for those that seek after God. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us with these principles tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want you to look at verse 1 and 2. And what's the first counsel that we find here in this psalm? David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Here's some good advice, some good counsel in a turbulent world. And David says, fret not, don't fret. Don't fret over what you see all around you. Don't fret over evildoers. Don't be envious of those that seem to be enriching themselves and even how God's people seem to suffer sometimes. Because David says, and he understood this, for soon they shall be cut down. Just like the short summer and the shortness of the green grass in Alaska. It's gone really quick, isn't it? That's the life cycle of evildoers and the wicked. David says, fret not. The word fret or fret not, this phrase, it's interesting. It means to glow. It means to grow warm, to burn, to be angry or incensed. And David says, don't get angry over what you see happening around you, and don't be jealous either or envious of them. Why? He says, because in verse 2, they're going to soon be cut down. Does it ever seem to you at times that the world and those that do wickedly have so much and live so prosperously, and yet God's people seem to suffer and do without? Does it seem like that to you? It was mentioned tonight, the Kurds over in the Middle East and Kurdish Christians who suffer greatly at the hands of evil and wicked men. We live prosperously in the United States compared to them. But there are others as well who seem to suffer, and wicked men seem to prosper and to bring to themselves treasure and pleasure. But David says, don't get angry about that. Don't get angry about the evildoers. Man, we look at what's happening in our own country, and it's real easy to get angry at the wickedness and the lunacy that's going on around us. But the psalmist states here, David says that we ought not to fret about this world or the children of it, because God is in control. Ultimately, God has the final say. In Psalm 73, turn over there. Psalm 73 and verse 3. The Bible says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Skip down to verse 17. So you see the psalmist here, he says, he admits his own shortcoming. He says, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw how they prospered and we didn't." The people of God, they don't seem to be in trouble like other men are. But then you get down to verse 17 and note what he says. "Until," this is how I used to be, "until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors." Notice this, in a moment. He says, I used to think this way, and I used to be envious of the foolish until God opened up my eyes. And when I got my eyes back on the Lord, I understood their end. And right now, it doesn't seem as though, you know, trouble is coming to them. But in a moment, he says, they'll be consumed. That's the way it is in this world even today, friends. It may seem that wickedness and those who perpetuate it, those in high places of leadership, it might seem that they're taking more and more control over this world. It might seem that they're pushing and forcing their agenda and their wickedness upon our nation and upon our country. It could cause us to fret. But we can't look at the circumstances. Rather, we need to be claiming God's promises, because ultimately He's in control and God has the final say. And all of these things must come to pass for God's will to be performed in this world. We can see what their end will be. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the AOC's, and the like, even the Donald Trump's, provided that the Lord doesn't get a hold of his heart. You understand what I'm saying? We can see what their end will be, and so why get upset? Why be frustrated? Why be worried? What ought we to be doing instead of looking at the temporal and the external? What we ought to be doing is found in the next verse, in verse 3. David says in verse 1, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. In verse 3, he says, rather, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Instead, we ought to be trusting in the Lord. The word trust here, it means to hide for refuge, to run to hide for refuge. Trust in the Lord, run to the Lord, to hide in Him for refuge. Now let me ask the question, does this mean that we go into hiding and we build some commune and we hide ourselves and we trust that the Lord's going to take care of it? That's not what it means. Because He says, trust in the Lord and then what? And do good. Notice that? We can't do good in this world if we put ourselves in hiding. No, we run to the Lord for our strength. We run to the Lord for our hiding place. But He says, do good. That word do is active. It means to make. Make good in this world. You know what? Faith and trusting in the Lord is an active grace. God wants to see a demonstration of our faith in Him by our actions, even in this world. And what is it that this world needs to see the most? They need to see Christ in us, do they not? David says to trust in the Lord and to do good. The doing good is the demonstration of our faith in God. When it comes to what we see going on around us in this world, what is the real answer for our country? Everybody would know it. Jesus is the answer. It sounds like a Christian cliche, doesn't it? But it's true. Amen. It's still the Lord. That's what this world needs. That's what our country needs. Doing good while trusting in the Lord is a matter of obedience to the Lord's commands. This is in the imperative. It means it's not a suggestion. It's a command. He never, you know what? The Lord never commanded us to vote. I think we should. I think we need to do our part. I think we need to be active. But that's not the command of the Lord. What is the command of the Lord? To preach the gospel, amen? The command of the Lord is to be holy in this present world. The command of the Lord is to let the world see Jesus Christ in our life. And that commission has not changed. That cause has not ceased. That command has not been canceled by the Lord. And where does our trust need to be? In the power of Christ to do what He's commanded us to do. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28 and verse 20 rather? First of all, He said to go preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. But then He said, Behold me. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We ought not to get angry. We ought not to get frustrated. It is frustrating to some degree, but ultimately our focus has to come back to trusting in the Lord. We ought to be busy obeying the Lord and trusting in Him. This is how we ought to behave. This is how we ought to respond in this present world. Don't fret yourself. Trust in the Lord. And then if you go back to our text, look at verse 4. Then David says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Here's some more good advice and good counsel for God's people. Don't fret. Trust in the Lord, and then delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? That word delight, it means to be soft or pliable. Interesting thought. Why is it stated this way? Delight yourself in the Lord. Be soft, be pliable in the Lord. Well, basically, if we're delighting in the Lord and we're soft and we're pliable, then the desires that we have, He can change to whatever it is that He desires. And that is how He can give us the desires of our heart, because they're actually His. Does that make sense? Do you follow that? Because I'm soft and I'm pliable to the will of the Lord, He can put His desires in my heart to where my desire is for Him. My desire is for His glory. And He can give me the desires of our heart. But notice the object of our desire. He says, delight, be soft, be pliable. But notice the object. He says, in the Lord. See all the capital letters there? That means Jehovah God. Be soft, be pliable to Jehovah God, the great I Am, the self-existent One, the Creator of it all, who is all-powerful, who knows everything. Why in the world would I not want to be soft and pliable to Him? Go to Psalm 8. Just hold your place here. Go back to Psalm 8. Lord willing, I'll be preaching on this psalm next week. But notice verse 1 in Psalm 8. Notice how David says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who hast set Thy glory above the heavens. Notice the all caps there again. The first word, O Lord. That's Jehovah God. That's the self-existent One, the Creator of it all. He's acknowledging the one true God. He says, O Lord, the one true God. There is no other beside Thee. And then He says, our Lord. Capital L, lowercase O-R-D. This is Adonai, Jehovah God, yes, but Adonai, it comes from that root and it signifies director, ruler, judge, master. That's what it means. And so he says, Jehovah God, the one who's created it all, the self-existent one, the one who exists because he does, because he is, O Lord, our Lord, our ruler, our director, our master. It means that he is the master. It means that he has authority. And if he has the authority and he's the master, then who's the servant? Me. Amen? And David says, this God, Jehovah God, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then note this, God's purpose, who has set thy glory above the heavens. The word set there, it means to make, it means to designate, it means to dictate, it means like this is the purpose. God's purpose is that he set his glory above the heavens. He has chosen to set his glory above the heavens. And then you get down in this, the rest of this psalm in verse 5, 6, and 7, and so on. And he talks about man's place in God's creation and how God has given man a significant place in his creation. And the whole psalm, the theme of the whole psalm is always coming back to the glory of God. Verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. The last verse, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God has given man a significant place in his creation, but all of God's creation is to bring glory to him. What's my point? When we live our life to please the Lord, when we live our life with the focus of bringing Him glory, you know what it does? It sets us free from fretting about what other men are doing. Because He's God. Amen? And my focus and my purpose is to glorify Him. It sets us free from trying to measure up to what others say or what others think or what others do. There was one preacher at the preacher's conference. I really appreciated what he said because maybe someday you'll meet him. Brother Mark Bradshaw, he's a good friend of mine, but he's just like this gentle giant kind of a guy. And he's very smart, very intelligent. And he just has this soft way about him for being such a big guy. He's not like a son of thunder, you know, voice of thunder kind of a preacher. It's interesting how there are all these different personalities and different types at preachers' conferences, and the Lord uses them all. But it's interesting how when the Lord is the one who's in control, it doesn't matter if it's a fiery thunder preacher or it's a soft-spoken. When the message is of the Lord, man, it strikes just as clear and just as clean and just as hard. And basically, what he said in his message was, he was preaching to preachers, but it was all on the idea of serving the Lord and honoring the Lord. And basically what he said was, he says, I don't mean to be rude and I don't mean to be offensive, but I don't need your approval, but I do need his. And you know what? This is true for all of us. We fret over evildoers. We try to measure up. We try and we compare ourselves amongst ourselves so often. But listen, when we live to please the Lord, it sets us free from fretting about what others are doing. Because God's in control. And He's chosen to set His glory above the heavens. He's chosen to fulfill His purpose in this world. And if I'm delighting in the Lord, and I'm soft and I'm pliable to God and His will, all I want is His glory. And you know what? He's going to be able to give me the desire of my heart. Go back to our text in Psalm 37 and look at verse 5. Then David says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Here we find some more good counsel. Don't fret. Trust in the Lord. He says, be soft, be pliable with the Lord. And then he says, commit your way unto the Lord. And you know, where there is complete trust and delight in the Lord, there's going to be a willingness to commit ourselves and our life and the purposes of our life to God's control. Meaning, it really doesn't matter what comes our way in life. I'm under the hand and the care of the Lord. I'm committed to you. I know you're going to care for me. In other words, I can take whatever it is in this life as this is something that God has allowed in order to accomplish His purpose in me. You following this? The life that is wholly committed to the Lord is a life that is going to be free from anxious thoughts and fears and worry. Let me say it again. The life that is truly committed to the Lord, I commit my way to the Lord, I'm trusting in Him. It's going to be a life that is free from anxious thoughts and fears and worries. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? Don't take thought for what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and all of those things. And He goes on to talk about how the Lord cares for the sparrows and the Lord cares for the smallest of things. And don't you think that you're better than a sparrow? The Lord knows you have need of these things. And the very next thing that Jesus says in that passage is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Trust in Him. Seek first His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you, He says. Listen, we're encouraged to cast all our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us in the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is, none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But we do know that God is always faithful. And we do know that God wants us to live by faith. And in so doing, we can experience peace even in the turbulent world when we commit our way to the Lord. Go to verse 7. Then David says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Here he says to rest in the Lord. Here's more good counsel. Rest in the Lord. The word rest, it means to stop. It means to hold your peace, to quiet yourself, to be silent. It's interesting. Wait patiently. It carries the meaning of cheerful endurance. So he says, rest in the Lord. He says, stop. He says, hold your peace. Quiet yourself. Be silent in front of the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Cheerfully endure whatever is coming in your life. Rest in the Lord. You know what? Restlessness is an evidence of unbelief. Restlessness is a picture or an evidence that we're not really trusting in the Lord. You know, the feelings of anxiety, the feelings of fear, the feelings that cause us to come to the conclusion, you know, we've got to do something. We can't just do nothing. You know what that often leads to? Taking matters into our own hands. But faith and trust in the Lord also helps us to rest in the Lord. And when we can rest in the Lord, we can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. God sometimes waits in answering prayer or revealing His will. God sometimes makes us have to wait, doesn't He? Because He wants to strengthen us and grow us and strengthen our patience, that cheerful endurance in our life. Turn to James 1. You know this passage well. And I'll finish up here. In James chapter 1, in verse 2, James writing to Christian brethren, those who would even experience persecution in this life, and he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We know the words fall into, it's not talking about stumbling or tripping. The word actually means to be surrounded by. So count it all joy when you're surrounded by different kinds of temptations. This word here specifically means adversity or adverse experience. Talking about trials. hard things, adverse experience in your life. Count it all joy when you're surrounded by nothing but trouble and trial. Why? Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This message here that James is giving, it really pictures perfectly what resting in the Lord is. It's a picture of peace in the midst of trouble because of the knowledge that God is at work in my life. I can be joyful in the midst of all of these adverse experiences. Verse 3, knowing, I've got this knowledge, that the trying of my faith worketh patience. And when patience has its perfect work, what is the result? I'm complete. I'm entire. I'm wanting nothing. There's growth. There's maturity in my life. And all of this ordained of God. This is what resting in the Lord is. Stop. Be quiet in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently. Cheerfully endure. Wait patiently for Him. There was an old-time pastor who said of Psalm 37 and verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. He said this, that in the Hebrew, it basically has the meaning of be silent to God and let Him mold thee. Be silent to God and let Him mold thee. God sometimes brings the trial into our life for the specific purpose of refining us and molding us and shaping us. Stop, be quiet, be silent, and let the Lord do what He wants to do in your life. Amen. Keep still, and He'll mold thee into the right shape. I was thinking about that. The idea of molding, shaping, and clay or Play-Doh comes to mind. You know how kids will take Play-Doh out and they'll start to mold it and shape it and make little stick figures and make little arms and little legs and so on, and they'll build little things out of Play-Doh. Can you imagine trying to mold Play-Doh if it was always wiggling? That's sort of like what it is in our life, though. God wants to mold us and He wants to shape us, and the psalmist says, just stop and be silent. Let the Lord mold you. Let Him shape you. Let Him have His will. Wait for Him. Be silent. Be still. He's working in you and on you while He's working for you. That is a treasure to the soul, especially in times of difficulty and trial. We could go back to the rest of the psalm. In verses 8 through 11, you know what David says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't overreact, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What are we waiting for, child of God? We're waiting for our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The inheritance that God has for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Note what he says in verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Look at verse 22. He says, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Look at verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it might seem bleak at times, but in the end, the wicked, they only have a temporary pleasure on this earth. But God's people have eternal treasure in heaven. We will one day receive that inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be patient and wait. Don't get angry. It's real easy for our focus to get off track when we look at all of the circumstance and the temporal. Amen? David says, don't fret. Trust in Him. Delight in Him. Commit your way to Him. Rest in Him. And the result, verse 11, abundant peace. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. Let's apply this good counsel. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for these principles and these truths that really are simple in their understanding, but oh, so hard to do sometimes when we struggle with this old flesh. And our thinking gets all out of whack, and we start believing lies. We become like others who have gone before us, who can have a self-pity party. And all because we get our eyes off of the Lord. And the counsel is to trust in the Lord. Don't get angry. Keep seeking after the Lord, committing our way to the Lord, serving the Lord. Because in the end, all that we see around us and the wickedness in high places and all that would bring us so much angst, it's only temporary, and soon it's going to be cut off. But we're going to receive an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ that is forever. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to live godly in this present world. Lord, that You'd help us to have the Spirit of God controlling us, that as we live our day-to-day life, that this world would see Jesus Christ in us, the answer for their soul. And Lord, that ultimately You would be able to shape us and mold us how You choose, and we can bring glory to Your life, to You from our life. Bless Your people. Encourage us as we go forward in this week. Lord, help us to be mindful of a lost world that is around us and seek to proclaim Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, good to be with you tonight.